From the KTO newsroom, I'm Jamie Deep. The Juneau Assembly has stalled on deciding whether to disempower the Eagle Crest Ski Area's Board of Directors until March. Earlier this month, Mayor Beth Weldon proposed an ordinance to reduce the status of the city-owned ski area's board from an empowered board to an advisory board. She cited the recent leadership turnover at the mountain and ongoing financial challenges. At a Committee of the Whole meeting last night, Weldon further explained her reasoning for the proposed ordinance to the Juneau Assembly.
I'm literally trying to save Eagle Crest, and I think with the empowered board making the decisions, I don't see the status quo changing. I just don't.
Right now, Eagle Crest has its own set of laws, rules, and responsibilities. But if it became an advisory board, members could only make recommendations to the Assembly. It would lose the authority to establish policies or make decisions without Assembly approval. At the meeting, Weldon argued the ski area needs more oversight given the high amount of funding the city has funneled towards it in the recent years, specifically on a new gondola project.
If we are investing large amounts of money on things such as the chairlifts or maybe even the gondola, we want to have more of a say in how that money is spent, and currently we don't.
In the coming years, the ski area is slated to run into a multi-million dollar deficit. The deficit is part of a plan to repair some broken and aging infrastructure while boosting pay to employees and preparing to operate year-round. Its expansion into summer operations relies heavily on the success of the gondola, which the ski area hopes to get up and running by the summer of 2028. However, many city leaders are worried the timeline and cost of the project will run far over what the board projected. The Assembly agreed to hold off on any decision-making until it holds a joint meeting with the Eagle Crest Board on March 4th. Assembly member Neil Steininger says he thinks that's the best option.
I think we owe it to everybody in the community to have a joint meeting with the Eagle Crest Board to actually hash this out.
The Assembly will then vote on whether to move the ordinance forward during a committee meeting on March 16th. It's been nearly a year since contract negotiations officially began between the Juneau School District and its teachers union. During negotiations, they reached an impasse, and the district declared it would enter arbitration with Juneau Education Association, but they haven't yet reached a new agreement. Now, students are speaking out about how unresolved negotiations are affecting them in the classroom. KTOO has more. 17-year-old Zoe Lessard is a senior at Juneau Douglas High School, Yada'at Kahle. She sits on the Juneau School Board as a student representative. At meetings, she typically gives updates on school dances and sports.
There are home hockey games taking place this weekend.
But during a meeting last October, she got up from where she normally sits for board meetings and sat at the testifier seat.
My name is Zoe Lessard. I'm speaking for myself, not the school.
Lessard spoke after more than an hour of comments from teachers and community members sharing their experience about working without a new contract. Some spoke about taking multiple jobs to make ends meet. Others said they were overwhelmed with the workload. During her testimony in support of teachers, Lessard got emotional.
These people were and are my advocates, my friends, my support, and some of them my family. My teachers have pushed me to be better and go into my future with confidence. Please allow them to continue to do this.
Now, outside of the board setting, Lessard is continuing to speak out. She wants to send an even stronger message. So she turned to the high school's student government last week with a drafted message.
I cannot say what I really want to say at school board meetings, and I thought it would be a powerful statement if it was approved by the whole student council.
The high school's governing body of more than 40 students unanimously approved the statement. Lessard is part of the student government because of her school board role. The written statement speaks to the need to have contracts that adequately pay teachers. Here's Lessard reading a part of the statement during an interview with KTOO.
We as the Juneau Douglas High School Yada'at Kahle student government are completely appalled at the superintendent and school board's lack of action about this matter. We do not support your decision to leave teachers and support staff with insufficient contracts.
Lessard has some personal insight into teachers' lives. Her dad is a teacher. But she says students in general notice and see the impact not having a new contract has on teachers.
If they are stressed, if their needs aren't getting met, if they need to work one or two other jobs, we notice. And we notice because they aren't able to focus on teaching as much as they would like to, which is by no means their fault.
The statement also brings up teacher vacancies. Based on reports from early January, the Juneau School District has more than 40 open teaching and staff positions. Bella Reyes Boyer is the student body president at the high school. Her mom is a veteran teacher and now the school's librarian. Last year, Reyes Boyer volunteered at an elementary school and says she saw the effect teacher vacancies have on students.
So I really got to see firsthand how important having those paraeducators and like teachers who are actually able to accommodate each student individually and how important that really is. It was really apparent that there is a lack of like specialized teachers for certain students.
Lessard says many students don't know much about the contract negotiations, so she's trying to educate her peers. She wants them to speak to the board in support of teachers.
I would hope people come and testify for their teachers and support staff at the next school board meeting, that they tell the school board how much the teachers and the staff in the schools matter to them and how that's what they need to be investing in for everybody's like future.
The district and the bargaining units for teacher and staff unions have met this winter, but no new meetings have been scheduled as of Tuesday afternoon. The school board is holding several budget-specific meetings in the coming weeks, including a budget public forum on February 5th. In Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep. The federal government says 98% of rural Alaskans catch, hunt, or gather at least some of their food, and much of that happens during the school year. Now students in Skagway are calling on their school district to adopt a policy that would let them take part in those activities without it potentially counting against them. The Alaska Desk's Avery Elfelt reports.
Lena Hischer is a local student and vice president of the Alaska Association of Student Governments. She says the district's attendance policy doesn't specifically provide flexibility around subsistence activities. And as she sees it,
that negatively affects kids who do subsistence hunt or gather. And so we kind of want to make it more even or equal.
Hischer was speaking at a recent subcommittee meeting of the Skagway School Board. The board's policy committee was considering a resolution put forward by the student council that asks for 7 free subsistence days per semester. Right now, students get 15 excused absences per semester. After that, they lose credit for missing class, unless they get a waiver from the superintendent or school board. Josh Coffrin is the district superintendent. During the meeting, he said the policy could be updated to mention subsistence activities and to allow students to proactively request days off for a moose hunt or other trip that wouldn't count toward the 15-day limit.
20, in essence, they would act a lot like student activities.
For example, when students travel for sports or debates, those days don't count as absences. Coffrin said the same could be true for hunting, fishing, and foraging.
We know they're not in school, but it's on a school-sanctioned event, and so this would be the school sanctioning subsistence activities and not counting it against families.
The board is set to discuss the issue at a board meeting this week. Coffrin said in an email that it's still, quote, early days for the idea. If the board decides to move forward with the proposal, it would go back to the policy subcommittee and then return to the full board for consideration. Reporting in Skagway, I'm Avery Elfelt.
And with almost 700 participants, Juneau's annual board game convention sold out for a second time this year. And the weekend-long Platypus Con is open late until the early morning hours. At midnight Saturday, KTOO's Yvonne Kremery stopped by to see what the convention was like as the witching hour approached.
It's late on a Saturday night at Platypus Con in Juneau. This is a board game convention, and there are a lot of people here. Some traveled from as far as Indiana and Massachusetts to play. And in the main ballroom, tables of friends and strangers try new games.
I'll take 5 coins.
Tim Mikulski and his friends are diving deep into the annals of capitalism with a game called Flow of History.
It's a card and also coin economy game. So we're progressing from ancient societies forward. Right now we're discovering mercantilism. And yeah, it's a good competition so far.
Mikulski has spent most of the day here, about 10 hours and counting.
We're feeling ambitious for a late night, but I don't know if I'm going to close it out. 2 a.m. feels real far away.
But he and his friends are still having fun.
Whoa, we have computers now?
We've really moved into the digital age.
We're in the fourth age.
As they advance to the modern age, we check in with Platypus Con creator and president Josh Warren. He started the convention in 2015, and it's only gotten more popular. Some people come to qualify for state and national championships in games like Catan. Warren named the convention after his favorite animal.
A lot of other board game conventions are like just named after the town that they started in, and I thought that was boring.
As we speak, Warren is wearing Platypus PJs, fitting for the late hour. But he's got other outfit options.
I have a Platypus like full suit with blazer that I should be wearing because it's warmer than this. And I do have a Platypus mascot costume.
He says after the convention, he's actually traveling to Australia and New Zealand to see the elusive creatures in person. Back in the ballroom, Pat Race, who owns the game and comic store, Alaska Robotics, in downtown Juneau, plays a game with his best friend and co-owner at the store's booth.
I mean, what a great event this is. It's packed in here all day, and then you get these, like, late night hours and this like, dwindling, sleepy crowd either hopped up on the chai from these guys over here or they're cramming pizza in. And it's just, I mean, it's just good, wholesome fun.
He says events like Platypus Con bring people together.
You get to spend time with people you maybe see in different contexts, and it takes away all that, like, I don't know, we have these facades of professionalism or the getting through the Foodland line, you know, armor. And so it's nice to have that all peeled away and just hang out.
We find Barb Lake at the Game Library, which houses all 2,540 games available to play at the convention. Lake is returning a very tall stack of games. Her favorite one was called Hues and Clues.
It's like a color matching game. So somebody has to give you the color that's on the board, and then everybody puts their chip as close to the color as they can get. Hello, it's really hard because your perception of what lavender is very different than what your friends think it is.
For Lake, the convention has become an annual tradition.
This is like the event of the year for us.
Her and her husband have come for the last 5 years.
We don't drink, so we don't go out to the bars. We're not really like into a lot of the other events that go around in town, but board gaming is what we do.
Lake says they've ended up buying many of the games they played at the convention and now have their own game library at home. She says it's one of her favorite ways to spend time with her friends and meet new people.
It is all of the emotions. So it's frustrating, it's confusing, it's hard because you have to figure out how to play something totally new from the rule book, or you have to try and look up a video to learn how to play it. So that part can be a challenge. And then when you get it and you like it, it's like elation.
With reporting help from Alex Solomon in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery.
And this is KTOO. For more news, head to ktoo.org.